Hey, thanks for joining us for Calvary Online. My name is Jorn, and I'm one of the gathering pastors at Calvary Midtown, where our primary emphasis is loving and serving the next generation. We are still in our series entitled Thrill of Hope. And as we've headed into the new year, there's still much to look forward to and to focus on as Jesus apprentices. If you've been following along with our messages, you know how powerful hope is for the movement of God's kingdom. Over the last month, we've focused on many attributes of hope. Hope in Jesus, hope for the future, hope in ourselves, and hope in others. But where does hope originate? I think it's a great question because at the very foundation of hope is the promises of God, and this promise is the bullseye of hope. See, hope creates sustainability because when God makes a promise, he means to not only keep it, but to actually fulfill it. Recently, I met up with one of my neighbors from my front yard mission hashtag that I've been praying for a long time. Bonnie and I have really connected with he and his family over the last few years. They've been consistently a part of our gatherings in the neighborhood, and we've had them for dinner and vice versa. We really enjoy them a lot. We actually really love them. But I've never had the chance to chat with him and hear his story. So a few weeks ago, over a cup of coffee, as we caught up about family and preparing for the holidays, I asked him, "So where are you at spiritually?" I said, "What's your journey been like?" And he said this, "Alcoholics Anonymous." I was actually a little shocked because I'd never taken him for someone who might struggle with that type of scenario. He said 18 years ago, his life was unraveling. He lost his job, was going nowhere, and realized he needed some hope and wasn't going to overcome it on his own. He still goes regularly, and he spends time as a sponsor caring for those coming into the program who are new. As he told me his story, he leaned into me and he said this, "It's a miracle. It really is a miracle." See, hope is miraculous for sure. Hope means where I'm at is not where I'll be in the future. Hope creates a steadfastness because I have my eye on the bullseye. It's the promise of God to hold up his end of the bargain, per se. So I'd like to talk about how hope begins with a promise. If you have a Bible, we'll be exploring this topic in Romans chapter 4, 17 through 25, and referencing the life of Abraham from the book of Genesis. Let me pray for us and ask the Holy Spirit to comfort and encourage us through his word. Father, we are grateful that hope is a powerful solution for whatever we're going through. It's the ability for us to see into the future, to see through the eyes of Jesus, and to realize that your plans and purposes are good. That as we lean into hope, there's a bubbling up of faith and joy inside of us because we know that you have a plan for our life. So I ask, Lord, that even as we continue through this message, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to those who need to be encouraged today, who need to hear the truth about who you are and who we are and what your plans are for us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. It says this, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as he had said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakness in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words 'it was credited to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." If you're not overly familiar with Abraham's story, he was handpicked by God to build his kingdom through his lineage. God made a promise to Abraham and told him, if you follow me, I will make you the father of many nations, and that his name would be great. Now, you have to understand that this was an amazing, unfathomable promise. First, because all men are driven by purpose. And the greatest purpose at this time, and still is, was their legacy. Children meant Abraham would never be forgotten. He would go on forever, through the eons of time, through the people that came from him. The second thing was his wife Sarah was barren. And as he walked with God, the promise was beginning to fade. It was 75 years when Abraham met God, and it was another 25 years that Sarah was actually barren. Yet he stayed the course, and even along the way, tried on the sly when his wife in desperation arranged a rendezvous with her servant girl to try and make things happen. There were lots of ups and downs in a journey where his faith started to wane and he would revert to living in fear when he told two kings that his wife was his sister so they wouldn't kill him, and they almost sabotaged the plan. Then there were moments of incredible trust when after 100 years, Sarah became pregnant and bore him a son, Isaac, who then God told Abraham to take up on a mountain and sacrifice him. Yet all the way up, he knew that God would have a plan to save him. For many of us, we can relate. You know, I love teasing our pastor's wife, Lynn, who I've watched have faith and be fearless dealing with all kinds of spiritual issues. And then the first time she sees a spider, she's running and screaming like it's Satan himself. See, faith and trust in Jesus has its ups and downs. In one area, we can have steadfastness, and the next moment, we're in a puddle of tears wondering if we even know what hope is. Yet through it all, Abraham knew what God had told him. See, hope begins with a promise. Hope begins with a promise. See, it's written this way. It says, I have made you the father of many nations. See, hope knows something. It knows when God tells us something, no matter how impossible, he simply can't go back on what he said. The foundation is unshakable and unbreakable. If the promise starts with him, it has to end with him. No matter what we think or how we try to persuade God to change his mind, he simply cannot and will not do something outside of his character and his word. Years ago, when revival had broken out in our hometown of Lewistown, a friend of ours, her name was Ellen, had come back to Jesus, but her husband simply wasn't interested. She would say, my husband will never get saved. He will never come to church. There's no way it's going to happen. Repeatedly, she would say this over the first few weeks as she became a follower of Jesus. She started to hear God's word then, and eventually she heard verses like this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I can tell you, it wasn't much longer after that that he came to know Jesus. I know sometimes it can be hard when we need to start somewhere. I wonder how many times in Abraham's journey, he needed to go back to that conversation that he had with the Lord. Let me say this. The Bible is also called the Book of Promises. Some of you know this, but I'm an advocate for reading the whole Bible over and over again. I've been doing it my whole life. Why? Because if you want to believe in the promises of God, you need to know the one who makes them. From there, you can begin to deal with wrong thinking and actually know your purpose. You must understand this. God wants to get glory through his promises, and they come because you believe in them. Here's something that we see in the verses. Hope has dead-raising power. It says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Let me ask you, what's dead? What's non-existent? Where do you need to be raised from the dead? Where have you laid down and actually died? Given up hope? Gave up the dream? Chose to force something because you couldn't be patient or you weren't willing to trust God? I want you to know there's real power in his words. Power to save, to transform, power to move mountainous circumstances, and all along the way teach you that he is actually in control. We don't hope for things we already have. We hope for things that are not. That's what the scripture says. This is where we see God the clearest. You may say, but Jorn, you don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does. And if things are going to change, then it's his power that provides the hope that you and I actually need. See, there's nothing God in Christ cannot overcome. That's why he makes the promises. See, hope puts the odds in our favor. It says this, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. I really like this version. I like where it says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless. Can I tell you that's when God loves to show up? No one believes things can change. God's purposes will be fulfilled. We need to believe that God has a plan. My friend Dirk Wood is a missionary of over 30 years. And a few years in, he told me this story. He said in the late 20s, he came to know Jesus and was radically changed. Before Jesus, he was a complete nut. And afterwards, that part of him didn't change. He needed to start reading through the Bible, and he read through the whole Bible month after month, and he began to believe what it actually said, and he lived it out. He would preach the gospel everywhere and to everyone. He would use the most unorthodox methods, where one time on a beach, he started running in circles around a sand dune, just screaming at the top of his lungs until he drew such a loud crowd, wondering what in the world is wrong with this guy. He must be crazy. Then he jumped up on the sand dune and someone asked him, "What's wrong with you?" And he said this, you know, with a voice of frustration. He said, "I hate when people tell me I'm going to hell for drinking." And everyone began to yell, "Yeah!" Then he said, "I hate when people tell me I'm going to hell for doing drugs and having sex." And the crowd even yelled louder. And then he said, "I know the only reason I'm going to hell is if I keep denying Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And everyone suddenly was shocked in silence. He then proceeded to preach the gospel, and many of the people gave their lives to Christ that day. Later on, he realized he wanted to be a missionary, and he went to the leaders of the church and the Bible college that he graduated from, and he asked for help for them to send him out. No one was willing to take a chance on him. They said he was too unpredictable and so unorthodox in his approach that they didn't believe he could make it in the field. So one day at sunrise, he went out on a cliff overlooking the ocean to pray, and he asked the Lord what he was supposed to do. And he said, as the sun rose over the horizon, he heard this verse from Isaiah. "Arise and shine, the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you." Right there, God spoke to him and told him to start a ministry called Arise and Shine Evangelistic Ministries. And because no one would send him, he took all his money and he sent himself along with his wife and his daughter to the Philippines. In 14 years, he planted over 100 churches, built a Christian school, and provided free education for over 300 children, and started his own seminary against all odds. See, there's a confidence we need to have that hope has the power to convince us. Being fully persuaded that God has power to do what had promised, that's what the scripture actually says. Being fully persuaded. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, he surmised that it only took about 10% to shift society for something to actually be changed. That if you held unshakable beliefs, small things could have a large impact. See, I believe hope has a tipping point. As I said, it was 25 years from the time Abraham heard the promise before Sarah was actually pregnant. So what happened in the in-between? I believe hope was building through not only holding on to the promise, but trusting God actually through the journey. What's your tipping point? Where can hope start building in you and actually through you? See, everything that is good is held together by God's word to us. When God speaks, either by his word or spirit, we can operate by faith, in faith, to actually fulfill the promise God has made. Here's what we need to do. We need to find a starting point in Jesus, a scripture that becomes a tipping point, and begin to listen, learn, and lean into it until you are fully persuaded. As I close, there are a few points I want you to remember. First is this: hope gives unlimited withdrawals from our faith account. It says about Abraham, it says it was accredited to him. We're written not for him only, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. See, like Abraham, we are righteous because of our faith. It isn't predicated on perfectionism, but on the grace of God alone. Let's be honest. We all screw up. A lot. Abraham had some serious lack of faith moments. But the promise of God made was about God's faithfulness. It wasn't about Abraham's faithfulness. It was about what God said. And all Abraham had to do was to put himself in position, even in his worst moments, even in his greatest failures. There'll be times where hope may be covered over with a malaise of failure or seemingly unexpected circumstances that are out of your control, or your own disobedience and sin. Yet there are no withdrawal penalties. See, faith, hope, and love are the great trifecta. Remember what Christ has done that gives you access into his presence and truth. So when you start feeling hopeless, you'll be prompted by the Spirit to actually believe in those moments, because God will remind you of his promises. He will remind you by the power of his Spirit. He'll actually take you back to your moments of being on a cliff where God speaks to you and reminds you of who he is and who you're supposed to be. See, hope removes every obstacle. Hope removes every obstacle. It says this: he, Jesus, delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justifications. No matter what you face in the year to come, more pandemics and viruses, disappointments, conflicts, and a future that may seem so uncertain, the promise of all promises is Jesus. Jesus, who did the heavy lifting, carrying our sins and burdens. Jesus, who exemplifies a beautiful Father who loves us unconditionally. Jesus, who moves the hearts of his people to live by faith, hold to the promises, and teaches us to love our neighbors. Here's three steps you can take to find hope in the promises. The first one is, find promises in the scripture. Have you found a theme verse for this year or for your life? My theme verse comes from Hebrews chapter 12. It says this: fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. What's your verse? When I get stuck, I run back to the fact that if I have to look through my eyes to figure out what the next year is going to look like, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make wrong assessments. But if my eyes are fixed on Jesus, I'll see through his eyes and I'll be able to hold the course and stay the course because of the promises that I find in that verse. Here's the second thing. Attack the obstacles with those promises. When all hell breaks loose in your life, when there's struggles, when you feel confused, when you're upset, when there's conflicts and you don't know what to do, you don't even know what to say, the best place to go is back to where God told you something profound, where God reminds you of his plans, his purposes, where the verses that you have memorized and you've held close to your heart begin to be a mirror for dealing with the things that are happening around you. The last thing is, live out the promise. It says this: faith without works is dead. But I believe faith with works actually reveals hope. It reminds us of what God's plan is for us. See, if you just have it inside, if you just memorize a scripture, but you actually never put it into practice, How is the promise going to bring joy and hope to you? The promise that God loves you, that God loves your neighbors, that God wants you to be a vehicle of his glory, because isn't that what it says? It says that Abraham believed in the verses so powerfully because he knew that if he would hold to the promise, that it would actually glorify God. So the reason that we live out this promise, the reason that we have hope in the promise, is because we want to glorify Jesus. We want Jesus to be lifted to the highest place, that all men would be drawn near to him. That even as we hold on to the promise so powerfully, that like John the Baptist, we actually begin to become invisible. So that when people see our lives, they see a beautiful reflection of the promise of God. So whatever you're going through this week or going to face this year, no matter what it is, there's hope for us. There's hope in the promises of God. There's hope that God is tenacious in fulfilling what he says he wants to do. And as you and I, we yield ourselves to God, as we yield ourselves to the scriptures and to the promises that he has for us, God will have his way in our life just like Abraham. At the end of Abraham's life, I can't believe what he probably went through. I can't imagine how he must have felt at the end of his life to be able to say, wow, God was faithful all along. I may have deviated, but he didn't deviate. He was waiting at every crossroads. He was waiting at every failure. He was there when I really needed him the most. He bailed me out when no one else could do it. And there had to be such a satisfaction in Abraham's heart that he knew that this God of the universe had picked him, had chosen him, and loved him enough to walk with him all the days of his life. You and I get to be those kind of vehicles for the world. You and I get to be people who say, I have hope. And that hope comes in the promise that God chose me to reveal his glory.